This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, here we go again. It's October. Caps hockey is on TV. I'm disappointed with a Halloween movie. Yes, it feels like October. Now it finally feels like October. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it. Well, I guess I can't say as always, because we recorded at separate times last week to kick off the season. But joining me here this week, he's feeling all better, probably. Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. We got four games under the belt for the Caps so far this year, and they're 2-2. Kind of mid there. Mid is what they're doing right now. What have been your early thoughts here with this newly built team of the Washington Capitals?
Well, you know, I liked what I saw on paper going into the season. You know, they're still, I didn't love that they're the second oldest team in the league. That still has me with a concern. But I liked the moves they made in the offseason. I think bringing in Kemper was the right move. It's frustrating to lose a first-round pick for nothing, but I get in Samsonov. But I understand the ideas that what he was going to get in arbitration was going to be higher than they could afford for a goalie that wasn't playing like a number one, and so they had to make that move. You know, it would have been great if they've been able to trade him, but I imagine having to accept the arbitrators or how much, you know, they would have had to do it, and they wouldn't have gotten much for him, but I guess something's better than nothing. But either way, he's gone. They brought in Kemper. Lindgren, I think, has been fine. But the team did not have an ideal start. You know, lost the first two games, won the next two, which is nice to see, but it's against Montreal and Vancouver, two teams that are still trying to make something of themselves after last season. And so, it's nice to turn the ship around, but I still have concerns after they got whooped up by Boston and got beat by Toronto, who embarrassingly lost to Arizona the other night. Although I say that now and watch what happens to the Caps. Power play had a really poor start to the season. It's gotten a little bit better in those two wins, but I thought it was, 0-7 in the first two games, which with the firepower that this team has, even without Nick Backstrom and Tom Wilson, still has plenty of firepower. And so the power play should not be going 0-7 ever. You know, if they don't score a power play goal every fourth or fifth opportunity, something's not going right with this team and their firepower. You know, teams are not going to be concerned about taking a penalty against them, even with a guy like Alex Ovechkin, if there's nothing to be worried about. If they know they're, you know, odds are they're not giving up a goal because this team's power play is embarrassing. But, you know, they did okay the last two games. So we'll see where they're at. It's still early in the season, but I think the concern, and I was talking with our buddy Ryan Drury about this, I think the concern is that we saw this last season too, where the power play struggled mightily at times and went through big slumps. And so there's a consistent factor there, and that consistent factor is still on the team and still part of the organization. And there's a real question as to why that. I think there's real questions amongst Caps fans as to why that's still the case. And so it's a little surprising.
Yeah, so who are you placing Blaine on here?
Well, clearly my blame is going to have to be on Alex Ovechkin. No, it's on Dylan Strome. No, it's. I mean, you know, the consistent factor here is Blaine Forsythe. And it's a real question as to how he's still employed with this team. And I don't like saying that about a human being. Like, these are people, they have jobs, they have, lives and families, and I'm assuming, and people that they have to take care of as well as themselves. And so I don't want anyone to lose a job necessarily, but this is a business where results matter. And that's how you stay in this business. And when you're not getting the results, that's a problem. And they aren't getting the results that they should be. And so the question really is, you know, should he still be in that role? And so we'll see. I mean, we're only four games in. There's still a lot of hockey to play. But outside of the Vancouver game, I mean, they scored, what, two goals, three goals, and then six. This team should be scoring more than three. And there was a stat they talked about, I think it was this morning, on Caps This Morning, about going back to ignoring last year's playoffs. If you go back to the last 10 regular season games, or going back into the last 10 regular season games of last year, this team did not score more than three goals a game. That's a problem. In the league that is more about goal scoring now, about higher scoring games, you need to be, especially with this roster or the talent, the firepower on this roster, you need to be scoring more than three goals a game, and they're not doing that, with the exception of the Vancouver game. And even then, they had such a weird game and a poor game up until the third period that I think, while, you know, we're only four games in, there is reason to be concerned about this team's season. I still think, you know, as of right now, they're going to make the playoffs. I still think they have an opportunity to make a run. I still think it's early and that, you know, they still have time to gel. Even though one of the new players is going to be out for probably quite a long time, but there are legitimate reasons to be concerned about this season right now.
Yeah, we're four games in, and I've already gotten plenty of text messages from people going, "What's up with this Darcy Kuemper guy? I thought he was supposed to be so good. I thought he was a Stanley Cup champion. What's up with him? What's going on? Why is he so terrible?" And I try to tell people, you know, four games in, let them gel a little bit. Lars Eller had, what, I think he had more than half a season before he really felt like he was at home in the Capitals system. So these things do take time. I think Darcy Kuemper is off to a rough start. It kind of makes you think, though, was it really Darcy Kuemper, or was it the Colorado Avalanche defense that really shined in that playoff run and in that entire last season? So you do have to just have some concerns just because it is off to such a dicey start. But I feel like we were told last year, it's the goaltending, it's 1A, 1B, there's who's going to grab the brass ring, who's going to be our number one starter, who's going to do this, who's going to do that, and none of the players ever did. And we're like, all right, we're blowing that up. We're going to bring in two guys that have proven that they can play at the NHL level, that this, that, whatever.
One, I think, to be fair. Like, Lindgren has been a lot of time in the AHL.
But, like, he was coming
he's
in knowing.
Well.
But he was coming in knowing he was going to be an NHL backup.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, so what I'm trying to say is, like, everybody knew their role. Everybody was coming in with some experience. They knew what they were getting themselves into by coming to this team. So it does take time. However, these guys came in, and we're still seeing the same old Caps. We're still seeing this team that is having trouble on the power play, is having a hard time finishing games, has a hard time looking as if they're interested to be there. They seem really disinterested in the game. I mean, was it just last year? It had to be, because the year before that was a COVID year. But it was last year where it was like game six against the Panthers, and the crowd was doing the wave during the third period. Like, they were so disinterested in the game because the players were disinterested. So it does worry me, starting off this season 2-2, while they did look good in that last period against the Vancouver Canucks, it looks like things may be kind of getting together. This team doesn't seem really enthusiastic to play. They seem disinterested, and the coaching staff doesn't really seem to want to change the game plan at all.
I don't love this coaching staff, but, like, I don't have to. They just have to be effective, you know?
Right.
And I feel like we don't have all the knowledge in regards to what goes on behind the scenes, right? So, like, we don't know about the injuries in last year's playoff run or last season. We don't know the injuries now. I mean, they're, again, going back to Caps This Morning, there was Samantha Pell was talking about. They had Kuznetsov, who we can talk about in a minute. You know, he was playing, looks like he's got an injury that he's been playing with. And so this upcoming forced game off looks like it will be potentially a good thing for him. Gives him a little extra time to heal up. But the coaching staff, I don't know. I have a lot of questions. And this comes to quote, maybe you've heard of the podcast with Mac Orley and James Bonding. And
right,
so
right.
And yeah, they call themselves lovers, not experts, in terms of, like, you know, they're big James Bond fans, but they're not experts.
Right.
And so, like, same thing for us. We love the team, love the sport, but we're not experts necessarily. So I'm not going to go out here and say, I know more than the coaching staff. Like, clearly they know more than me. But I have questions in terms of, like, are we getting the most out of this team? I mean, a guy like Connor McMichael, who came into his, you know, after being drafted, there's a lot of high hopes for him. And we've seen plenty of players that get drafted high and then don't make, not make something themselves. That sounds meaner than I'm intending. But they don't necessarily become the player that everybody thought. And there's, you know, thousands of different reasons for why that might be the case. You know, but is McMichael an NHL player? And is this coaching staff able to help young players progress? I don't know. I mean, they haven't been there too long. I don't know if we've seen any young guys that have really, outside of like Martin Favari, that have really had their careers go from being a rookie to, or a young guy to really excelling under this coaching staff. And I think in a league that has a salary cap, you have to be able to incorporate young players because, for one, they're cheaper. And you either need young guys or you need cheap players. And cheap players typically have hit their peak and are, you know, bottom six forwards. But at some point, you need to replace one of your top six guys, given that they're too expensive or they are, they're not on the skill level anymore, or because they're older or they're just retiring. And you will replace them with young guys. And I don't think this coaching staff has shown that they have the ability to do that. You know, McMichael has not been able to make that step up. You know, we were hoping to see some of that from Axel Janssen Fjällby or Brett Leesen. Those guys are gone now. And then you look at someone like Alexi Protas, like maybe. And we have yet to necessarily see what he's fully capable of. Again, it's only four games this season. I know he played a bunch last year. So, you know, I have a lot of questions about this coaching staff. I think especially with Blaine Forsythe in the power play. And I think this is the season. There was a statistic going around. I don't remember who it was by or who it was from. But Laviolette was like the, I don't know, 7th, 8th, 9th, maybe 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, something like that. Highest percentage-wise in terms of, it might have been from the NHL, in terms of like asking a bunch of experts. People know more than us. Which coaches were the first that are going to be fired. And Laviolette was like the, somewhere between the 6th and the 9th, like highest possibility. And, you know, I think if they continue to have this slow start, I think if we get through the end of October, first week or two in November, and they're still struggling, I think that Brian McClellan's going to have some real decisions to make in terms of what to do with this coaching staff. But the other question is, like, who's out there that you bring in? You know, there's one guy I can think of, but does he want to come back? Would he want to come back to the organization? I don't know. You know, if you ask Ryan, the answer is no. But, you know, I wouldn't mind having him back. But keep in mind, that was the same guy that you and I were ready to kick to the curb the year they won the cup around Thanksgiving because they were really struggling.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of time for them to turn this around. You know, Laviolette's a veteran coach. I'm sure he knows what he's doing. But sometimes some coaches don't mesh well with certain players. They don't mesh well with a certain organization. Their playing style just doesn't work for certain players. And sometimes it's just easier to get rid of the head coach and try it with a different coach than it is to keep switching up the players. And I feel like, you know, you bring in a guy like a Barry Trotz, or, you know, he could come in and probably do something well with this team. I'm still shocked that the Islanders let him go. But I don't know if he'd want to come back. You know, and the question is, I don't have the knowledge, but the question is, who would they bring in instead? Like, who's the guy to replace Laviolette? Are you bringing someone up from the minors? Are you promoting one of the assistant coaches? Or are you, is there someone I haven't thought of that's somehow currently a free agent that struggled somewhere else that you think you can bring in to be the guy here? I don't love the idea of a first-year head coach with a veteran squad. I just think that's a mistake. But that might just be me. You know, maybe that does work out.
I mean,
I want Barry back, but that's just me.
I'd love to see Barry back as well. How many head coaches has Ovechkin been through? Is it five?
All right, mate. Wait, hold on. All right, let's play the game.
I'm just talking NHL ones still. I'm not talking KHL or anything like that.
No. Of course. So they had Glenn Hanlon, but he was always going to be a temporary thing to kind of like get them to that next level. And once they got past what his, like, he was very good with the young guys. It was Glenn Hanlon, then Bruce Boudreau. Hanlon, Boudreau, Hunter, Oates, Trotz, Reardon, Laviolette, right? So that's, he's on his seventh.
Is that normal?
Not
for...
that it's like, but I don't say of like he's, and this was all the talk before, like the, you know, him and Alex Semin or something, you know, those guys are the reason coaches gotten fired. Like, no, like Crosby's had plenty of different head coaches in his career. Players have coaches. Coaches, like, I feel like the lifespan of a professional coach, especially in North America, is like 3 years with an organization.
Yeah.
If that. NFL is like 6 months.
Yeah, the Carolina Panthers head coach, he got fired, what, four games in? So he lasted about a month, and he still gets $40 million till January. I mean, I can be that bad of a coach for $40 million. No problem.
Be worse coach for $40 million. Just give me $40 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, like you said, Peter Laviolette, he's a veteran coach. He's been around a long time. I don't know if his seat is hot because we are just starting. Again, we're four games in.
If you got one of those heat warmers in your car, so my car, I have I call it a hot butt.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah, so I got the hot butt warmer. And I feel like his right now, it's three levels. There's the low, the medium, and the high. Which I think mine starts at really high and then goes down to low. I don't understand that. But anyways, I feel like his is at the first setting. Like, his is at a low right now.
So he's comfy, but like...
If it's a cold day, you know, he's feeling good.
Yeah, if the sun were to come out, though, then he'd probably be like, ooh, this is getting a little toasty for me.
Yeah, I feel like his is a little warm. And I think most of that is because of the way last season ended. And they got beat up by Florida in the playoffs. And, you know, I mean, Florida had a good team. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like they should have done better. And so with this team, you know, I think Laviolette's seat is a little warm. You know, it's not toasty. It's not, he's not, you know, I don't think he's getting fired tomorrow if they lose.
Yeah.
So we're looking at a new head coach starting on Friday. No. Bringing Alan May in. No, I think that his seat's a little warm, but it's, you know, he's not there yet. I think, you know, I'd be shocked unless they like went on a 5 or 6 game losing streak and McClellan's already got a plan, that I don't think he goes anywhere before at a minimum the like second week of November.
Yeah. I mean, I'm Thanksgiving.
I'd be shocked if it was.
I don't see them doing anything before Thanksgiving, but we'll see. We'll see what happens, which by the way, I just got my seat warmers in. The chip finally came in. So I got them last week. Life changer really is.
Oh, in the winter. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I got the seat warmer and I got the heated steering wheel. Mm, good stuff
right
there.
Oh, see, I don't have that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Really? Because all right. That's interesting. I'll do some research after the show about that one.
Yeah, yeah. I do. I don't have the remote start though. Unfortunately, got the chip. Didn't get the remote.
Love that. I do love that sometimes. So, I always forget to use it. I always get out to my car and I'm like, oh yeah, I could have done that.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean we're 1 week into the season, so I'm not trying to go nuts right now, but I don't feel
fireball trade everybody.
Yeah, I don't feel great about this team right now. I think that they're passable, they're mid, and their record shows that right now. But I do think there are a couple new players here that kind of have to get used to the system, so I'm giving them time to do that. I do expect a little bit more from the defense because not a lot has changed there. Goaltending, I'm going to give them some time. But offense, we do have a couple new guys and one guy who is new. Unfortunately, he's going to be on the shelf for a while.
That was unfortunate. And, you know, I saw the play in the video and I watched it a couple times and like he doesn't appear to be in a ton of pain. I actually thought it was really classy of Elias Pettersson who tried to help him off the ice.
Mm-hmm.
So like I wonder if they heard something, you know, once we find out what happened to him. I wonder if we like, because he's scheduled for surgery, but I wonder if they heard something. They were like, oh. And I thought it was weird. The ref like pushed Pettersson away and I was like, he's helping him, you jerk, like why are you pushing him away? But I thought that was actually a pretty classy move on his part in terms of helping him out. But yeah, Connor Brown is they put him on IR. Sounds like he's going to be down for quite a while. Team also placed Carl Hagelin on long-term injured reserve, so that saves them a bit of cap space. But he joins Nick Backstrom and Tom Wilson on the not going to see them for a while list.
Yeah, and that means that we've got, what, three potential minor league guys or young guys that could plug in there. The Caps recalled Beck Malenstein from Hershey, and they also have Joe Snively and Connor McMichael that they could plug into those lines. So who do you think makes an NHL season debut up against Ottawa in his replacement, in his place?
Well, I think we're definitely going to see because we have a bunch of guys out now, right? So we have a couple of guys that have been brought in because Backstrom and Wilson are out. And now with Brown out, I mean, I think that definitely gives, I think we're getting debuts from McMichael and Snively.
Both guys.
Well, we have to, because our first line center, Yevgeny Kuznetsov, has been suspended for one game for being a moron.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick. Let's talk about that suspension.
Talk about his moronity. Is that a word? But I'm making it one.
That suspension completely warranted.
100%. I was surprised it was only one game.
Yeah, I'm actually a little shocked it was only one game. But Kuzi, he was frustrated, I could tell, but he just can't take your frustrations out like that, man. You can't do it.
Don't swing stick baseball style. Like, I understand it's the playoffs right now and everything in Major League Baseball, but, like, not okay.
Yeah, that was intentional. That's what he was going for. Yeah, not a smart move, and we missed Kuzi for a game. Luckily for Caps fans, it's only a game. I would have expected more because of how malicious that looked, but
I was
dumb.
Genuinely shocked.
Yeah, but that was anger. That was major, like, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm just going to hit you.
Like, I was genuinely shocked it was only one game. Like, I think if he had connected better, not better, because that makes it sound like he should have swung it. If he had connected more with...
He hit him in the face!
No, but I think... Yeah, I know. Well, chest, face area. Like, I feel if he'd, like, clocked him really, like, you know, injured him, like, he's getting longer, which is BS. Like, it shouldn't be connected to the injury. Like, the play itself should be looked at in an... Like, you know, isolated. Yeah, it was dumb. And I, like, right when I saw it, I was like, that's going to be a suspension because he's stupid. That was dumb. That was like, you got to keep your cool. And even if you're mad, dude, like, go at him in terms of ways you can, where, you know, you're poking him, you're jabbing him a little bit, not spearing or anything like that, but you're going at him, give him an extra shot. Or you'd like, you know, you want to do something where you jump the dude and try and start a fight. You know, if you're that mad about it, fine, but you don't swing your stick baseball style at a dude. Like, you're not going for the home run. So that is a not well-earned, because that implies it was a good thing. That is a well-deserved suspension for his stupidity and, you know, potentially cost the team, because now we are down our top two centers with Baxter being out injured and Kuznetsov being out for being an idiot. And so that puts at likely what? I think I saw the lines today had Eller on the top line, Strome on the second line, McMichael, and then Dowd.
Yeah.
Like, so the center depth on this team is actually quite nice.
But where McMichael wants to be, right? Because they were having...
Well, he wants to be a center.
Yeah.
He thinks he's a center. And I think at some point he will be a center if he can get a coaching staff that can actually, you know, like, help progress a young player. But I, you know, when you already are down in Nick Backstrom, a Hall of Fame, like, talent, you can't lose your first line center for something stupid.
Yeah.
But here's where they're at, because, as I have said multiple times, Kuznetsov is a moron. For that, anyways.
Yeah. I'm excited to see Joe Snively. His season kind of got cut short last year.
Tearing it up, too.
He was. He made a real big
impact.
That was
really disappointing.
Yeah, and then he got hurt and had to go away for a while. So it'll be nice to have him back in the lineup. Connor McMichael, I still think, I said this in our training camp show, I think that dude would do really well down in Hershey. I think him getting to play at the AHL level every night or every other night, whatever their schedule looks like, I think that would really benefit him a lot. Him sitting up in the press box is not helping him in any way. So it'll be nice to see him.
No, 100%
not. Yeah, he wants to be a center. They're letting him be a center at this point. So it'll be nice there. And then Beck Malenstein, hopefully he'll see some time before being sent back down to Hershey. I'm guessing he's just up because of the Kuznetsov thing. But.
Yeah, I think he goes back. So they play They play in Ottawa, on, not to steal your bit at the end of the show, but they play in Ottawa on Thursday, and then they have the Kings home on Saturday. And unless Kuznetsov, so as I, Samantha Pell, who writes for the covers the Caps for the Washington Post, she was saying that, you know, she thinks Kuznetsov has an injury because he hadn't been practicing up to the game against Vancouver. Right. And I guess he had practiced the prior 2 days, including the day of. Not prior 2 days, I'm sorry, the day before and the game day. I think I have that right. So unless he's going to be out again for an injury, you know, I think Mallison's heading back to Hershey. And it's funny because I was, again, going back to Caps this morning. They're doing sort of a reporter roundtable. So it was John Walton, Ben Raby, and they had Samantha Bell from The Post and Tarik El-Bashir from The Athletic and TNT or TBS or whatever it is. And he was talking about how it makes no sense for Michael at his age. He's like, what, like 21? Like, why is he sitting in the press box? And this is me. This is not, you know, verbatim in terms of how Tarik El-Bashir was putting it. But it makes no sense for him to be sitting in the press box. Like, you can learn some stuff by watching, but only so much. But he should be playing every night. And if they're going to be having him sit, I'm pretty sure he gets, you know, he doesn't have to go on waivers. So at that point, if you're not going to play him, put him in Hershey and let him tear it up in the AHL. You know, that may not help him progress, or he might progress slowly or slower than he would be playing in the NHL every night, but you're not playing him in the NHL every night. And if that's going to be the case, the kid needs to be playing. So let him go down to Hershey and light up the AHL and get that confidence. And look, if you don't like him, then at least you're upping his trade value and you might be able to get something else for him. I don't love that idea because I think he could be a good NHL player. I think he's a future, you know, first or second line center, hopefully on this team. But if they really don't think, if the scouting staff and the front office, now I'm not talking about Laviolette, I'm thinking, you know, Brian McClellan and his staff, Ross Mahoney, if they're like, you know what, we're not thinking that he's going to be a top six forward for us. You know, maybe it's time to move him on, up his trade value by having him tear it up in the AHL. And I'm sure there'll be some NHL team that's going to go, you know what, we might be able to get something out of him. We'll give you this prospect or this draft pick or this NHL player for him. You know, maybe you go and you get a 24-25-year-old NHL player on a team that's looking to kind of do a little rebuild that isn't building around that player, you know, and then you move out McMichael. But I again, I don't love that. I want to see McMichael on the team. I want to see him succeed, but it doesn't do him any good to sit up in the press box. And so if you're not going to play him, send him to Hershey and let him tear it up.
Yeah, and I want to see him get more playing time. He's only going to get better, and he needs the playing time in order to do that. We're seeing that with Hendrix LaPierre in Hershey right now. He's getting the playing time. He's playing every night. He's improving his game.
2 points in 2 games. Got a goal and assist.
Yeah, so
I'm going to go see him hopefully soon.
Yeah.
Trying to go to a game.
That'll be fun. But Connor McMichael, let's see what he can do as a center here. Right now he's on the third line. I'm sure they will be jumbled up during the game and before the game tomorrow as well. So we'll see what happens with him. But the two names that we lost, do you think they would have been called up before Beck Malenstein if they were still a part of the Caps organization right now?
I mean, it's tough to say given how Hershey's season started. So, you know, you don't know how they would have necessarily done if they didn't go. But Johnson Fjällby hasn't even played for Winnipeg yet. And I think Leeson played in one game and came away as like a minus one. I don't think he played about 10 minutes. So, you know, I think the depth of this team has been tested a little bit in terms of losing those two. It's not this team. This organization has been tested a little bit. The injuries and suspension have tested the depth of the team. And I actually forgot to write this in the notes, but the Caps did make a move signing Sonny Milano to a 1-year $750,000 deal to replenish some of their depth. And he passed through waivers. He was on a 1-year one-way deal. So he passed through waivers and is now going to be playing with Hershey. My guess is he's down there for a little bit to get into any, you know, playing shape. And then as soon as they need him, they will call him up.
Yeah.
Especially if he's doing well. I mean, I apologize because I forgot to even write this in. I don't know how. But he was in Anaheim last year, and let me double check his stats, but I'm fairly confident he was doing quite well. He had he's only 26 years old. He had 14 goals and 20 assists in 66 games for Anaheim, but he was playing on a line with Trevor Zegras, who was tearing it up last year. That kid's good. And that's talking about the future of the league right there, him and a bunch of other players. So, you know, I really like this move. Even if they didn't lose Johnson Fjällby and Brett Leeson, I still would have, you know, like this move. I love that we're helping out Hershey because I love that connection. You know, if you didn't have an AHL connection with Hershey, I'd want a team in Baltimore because there's not really an AHL team that's close And I think it makes 100% sense to have a team within like a 2-hour drive. So, you know, I think that having him there is great. I think it adds more depth. I think they're going to be an interesting situation if everybody's healthy when Backstrom and Wilson come back. Because when those guys are back, I don't see a spot in the lineup for a guy like McMichael. And I think they have to send him down to Hershey, which only helps them out and only helps him out. And then probably, well, Snively, I think, has passed through waivers. I wouldn't be surprised if he got claimed. So,
yeah, it was interesting that they kept Connor McMichael here because I don't think he has to pass through waivers. They could have just sent him straight to Hershey. So to save Axel Janssen-Fialbi or to save Brett Leason and just keep them.
They were going to get through because it wasn't like they like cored up last season. So I honestly, I was a little surprised they got claimed.
Yeah.
But you know, it is what it is. And Caps have an opportunity to always get them back if they end up trying to send, you know, if Anaheim who got Leason or Winnipeg, who got Janssen-Fialbi, if they, you know, try and send them down, that there's always a chance the Caps can bring them back. And I think if the Caps reclaim them and they, I don't know if they have like first rights or whatever to it, but if they reclaim them, I believe they can send them straight to Hershey without having to put them on waivers. And yeah. So that is, you know, that'd be good for depth. And I'd love to have those guys back, but you know, signing someone like Sonny Milano is a, it's a low risk, high reward move. You know, if it doesn't work out. Yeah. It's a little bit of a you know, in Lyons's or Monumental's pocketbooks in terms of, you know, cause he's 750,000, whether he's playing in the AHL or NHL. But other than that, you know, I think it's a really good move.
Now let's talk about one of the things we always love to talk about here. High fashion, the fashion.
Let's do it.
The reverse retros, they officially have been announced, and then unofficially, the jersey has leaked. The NHL has confirmed to Russian Machine NHL did confirm to Russian Machine that the jersey that is leaked is the Capitals jersey that we're going to see.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, so we will get some high-res photos probably when you guys are listening to this show. But it looks like the reverse retros are making a comeback, and we're getting a black jersey, a screaming eagle, and it looks like an early 2000s like practice jersey for the Capitals.
So here's my problem with this jersey. I don't dislike it necessarily. So my understanding of literally the words reverse retro is that it is a jersey that, or a logo or jersey style that was formerly used by the organization, right?
Sure.
And then it is reversed. So it's not just the old one. It's not just a retro or vintage jersey you bring it back. You're mixing it up, right? So the Screaming Eagle in the red, white, and blue, which looked great last season. That makes sense. I don't know if this one is so much a reverse retro because the Screaming Eagle was in the black, blue, and bronze era, right? So it would have made more sense if they took the old script logo and made that in the black, blue, and bronze.
Oh, that's interesting.
Or if they took the old dome logo and had that on the front with the old jersey, not just colors, but style, right? With the straight lines as opposed to the like check mark joint. But also the old black jersey had, it was a straight line around the, like kind of the waistband line or lines, I should say, not the check mark thing. So like it kind of is reverse retro. It's kind of not in terms of like, all they've really done is just change the logo on the chest and the angle of the lines for the old black, blue, and bronze jersey. And you know what? It might have been white, the bigger line, or bronze. Yeah, I think actually it was bronze. So they've changed a couple of things, but this one, I don't dislike it. I just feel like it's not how I feel the words are added. Like, someone's not using the English language correctly with this one is my problem, I think.
Yeah, I think that if this one were to come out last year or the year before, whenever the Screaming Eagle one came out, earlier, I think people would have
wrong with it.
I think people would have gone like gaga over it. They would have been like, oh my god, this is amazing. But because this is the second year of the reverse retro and we have those red, white, and blue Screaming Eagle ones to compare it to, I think everyone's just kind of like, yeah, it's cool. Like, it doesn't make as big of an impact. Now if they would have done the red, white, and blue in the dome, so it was a legit reverse retro, I think people would have really dug that. However, I think they want that.
Nice.
They want the Screaming Eagle. I think that's what they want. Yeah, that logo.
Selling that so well. They have the Capitol Dome on the shoulders for last year and this year. If the one that Aesthetics, at Aesthetics, if the one that they are showing as the legit one, like, we know it's going to be the black, blue, and bronze. We've seen it. Kemper had the mask. The players were practicing. Was it today or today? Right.
Today.
Being what's today? Wednesday.
Wednesday.
With the they had the black, blue, and bronze, like, skates and pads, and I think pants. And so, like, we know the color scheme is going to be correct. You said the NHL confirmed with Russian Machine that's going to be the jersey that's leaked, is the actual jersey. I don't know. I feel like the Capitol Dome logo never got enough respect. I feel like I like that one better as a primary, and then the Screaming Eagle as a secondary logo, I like that though, that layout better. And so I feel like they've missed something here by basically just taking last year's jersey and just mixing up the colors.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that they just took the same reverse retro and just switched up the color scheme. And they're like, it's new. And I'm like, is it? Like, as y'all say, NHL games are new every year, but all you've done is update the rosters. Like, you've not really changed anything all that much.
I will say that I like the W logo. I like the team in a darker color sweater. So, like, them having a black jersey is actually kind of cool, because it is very different than what we're normally seeing. But this one seems like a bunt. Doesn't seem like a home run. You know, it seems like
a bunt. Double, man. Like, it's still a nice look. Like, I don't know if I'm going out of my way to try and get this one. Like, I really wanted the last reverse retros. Like, I still want one of those.
You got on base. I'll say that. You know, you got on base, and, you know, we'll see what happens later. But this is fine. I think if this was the first one, people would have gone crazy. But those
feels
red,
a
white,
bit safe.
Yeah, those red, white, and blue ones that we saw last year, they fit the aesthetic for Caps fans. The new fans liked it. Old fans liked it. I mean, every goaltender that we had the Screaming Eagle on their mask. I think Darcy has it on it right now. So, like, people like that logo. But I feel like if you would have done the Capitol building and you would have done that red, white, and blue, because we've never seen that before, that would have been something a little bit daring, a little bit more fun to see on the ice. But this is fine. I'm not going crazy for it, but it's fine.
This, I think you just put it perfectly. This is fine. You know, it's not fantastic. Like, last year I was like, yo, these are nice. Like, I'm really liking it. Like, they're one of the top, and it wasn't just Caps fans. Like, there are people there, you know, on Twitter anyways, which is not a great reflection of society, but there seemed to be a lot of people that really liked last year's reverse retros. And I just feel like we're not going to get that same level. And given, not the end of the world, but we're not going to get that same level of, like, excitement about these. And I think it's just because they're nice. They're fair. What do you say? Yeah. They're fine.
Yeah.
They didn't mess up necessarily. You know, they didn't really. They're fine. They're okay.
The blue W is still the best jersey that they have, so that's fine.
I will throw something at you from here. Like, I know it'll be really far for me to throw it to Baltimore, but I will throw something at you.
Hey, they wore them against Vancouver, and they won. So
finally. Is that the first win in the Blues, by the way?
I think it might be, yeah. But they're going to have five jerseys. You think about that. Five jerseys this season. You got the normal home and away.
Oh, God, we're going to have we're going to Carolina for a
get a stadium
game, aren't we?
Yep. So we get a special one there. Maybe that's when we see the Capitol building for that one game. Who knows?
No, because they always botch the outdoor game. Except for in Pittsburgh. They always botch the outdoor game jersey.
Ooh. Think about this. What if you do the Screaming Eagle, but with an away white jersey for that stadium game?
Dude, that was their home jersey back when they wore those.
I know. But what if you are the away team now and you have them? You've got the reverse retro in there. It's something unique. They're only going to use for one game.
We've already seen the Eagle now twice, you know?
I don't know.
They're going to come up with some bizarre. I actually would love to see just Washington in diagonal, like the Rangers had or Pittsburgh had at one point. Just Washington diagonally down. I actually think that would be kind of, you know, it'd be clean. You know, not I would like it personally. Yeah. But that might just be me.
I don't know. We might have to do a ranking show next week for these reverse retro sweaters.
Have they said when they're releasing it? First of all, Seattle released their reverse retro like teaser. You've played one season. Like what? What retro? How far back are you going?
We're going way back to 2021.
I mean, I guess weren't the Seattle Pilots a team? Like, oh, that was a baseball team. So, right? They were. Yeah, that was a baseball team. So that's not. Was that a hockey team? Who was this? What was the old Seattle hockey team?
I have no idea.
I mean, they had a metropolitan. Like, if you're gonna go to like an older thing, fine, whatever. But the.
It's just going to be a Starbucks logo.
It's like when they did... Actually, that would be funny. It's like when they did Vegas for the last year, and I was like, you don't have a... No, or... What was the reverse retro? Was that last year, 2 years ago? Like, you don't have a reverse retro because you just started. Like, this... You know, I'm curious what... Was the Adidas thing ending? Am I getting my leagues mixed up here?
No, I think they are... Adidas is ending, I think, after next year.
Yeah, and so who's next? Nike? I don't know.
Under Armour.
NHL jerseys. Manufacturer? Because Adidas is wrapping theirs up, right? And so I don't know. Oh, so I guess maybe they don't have one yet. So yeah, I guess we'll see. Maybe they'll have something. My guess is we won't have any more reverse retros after this because someone else will be doing it. Maybe they'll do something different. But, I, you know, some of the reverse retro stuff is just silly because you can't have something retro if you've never had a team before this season or, you know, a couple seasons ago. So that's just my personal opinion on that.
Yeah, we'll see what the Caps do with these reverse retros, and maybe we'll do a ranking show for all the other teams like we did last time, because that's always a fun little show. Anything else we should cover here in Caps World?
You know, I think that's it. No, I think we covered everything, buddy.
All right. Well, hey, first time of the year, first time of the season. Let's do it. Let's go. Down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears. And South Carolina Stingrays, Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 2-0 to start their season with wins over Utica and Lehigh Valley at the Giant Center over this past weekend. Now, they'll be heading on the road to Charlotte for back-to-back games on Friday and Saturday. Down in South Carolina, their season doesn't start until Saturday, November 5th, so we have some time before we talk about Stingrays. That's what's going on down on the farm.
That's a late start.
They always all start later so that players that don't make the roster, then they go to the next one's, you know, kind of training camp.
Yeah, sure. But still, weird. All right, hey, well, go Bears and Stingrays. We'll see you soon. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, here we go. We're going around the NHL. It's not just the Caps getting everything going. Plenty of stuff's going on around the NHL. So, Coach Dan, tell us, who else besides Kuznetsov has been suspended?
I'm actually a little bit more interested right now in some news out of New York and the NHL's front offices as the league announced that the salary cap could rise by at least $4 million if the league meets certain revenue numbers. So some of that cap problems that the teams are currently facing, especially the Capitals, could be eased up after this season if they hit those revenue numbers. So that'll be nice to see, you know, towards the end of this, as we get into the season, towards the end of the season. And then we talked about a little bit how most teams have around the league have revealed their teaser videos for the reverse retro jerseys. Unsurprisingly, they're all the freaking same, except for the colors are different. So can we get a little creativity there, Adidas and NHL? Like, as two guys who have video degrees, it's not that hard to make slightly different videos.
I'll do it.
Like, just, I don't know. I thought that was kind of lame. Some news breaking, actually, as we started recording, as former Washington Capitol and current Detroit Red Wing, Jacob Vrana will be unavailable to the team for an indefinite period while he receives care from the Player Assistance Program of the NHL and NHL Players Association. As of right now, no more information has been released, so we don't know specifically what's going on with him. But, you know, personally, I can say I hope that even though he's not part of the team anymore, he's a human being. I hope he's doing okay and that he gets the help he needs with whatever it is that is going on with him.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that Jacob Vrana, who was such a big part of this team, but just anybody going through something like that, it's very difficult for him, for his family. So we do wish him all the best and hope he is getting the help he needs. And luckily, I guess either he or someone he knows were able to identify an issue. And they're going to take care of it. So hopefully Jacob Vrana comes out on the other side and is okay. So best of luck to Jacob Vrana.
In other former Washington Capitals news, down in the ECHL, Anson Carter is now a minority owner of the Atlanta Gladiators. So that's pretty cool for him to be have an ownership stake in a team, even if it is, you know, it's under that sort of 50%. And so, you know, that's, I don't know. I feel like that's pretty cool. He also does some broadcasting stuff, right? With like TNT or NHL Network, something like that. And so, I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool. Apparently I saw in the article that he's going to be a pretty active owner, which, as someone who lives in the DC area, as a fan of the local football team, that's not necessarily a good thing, but, God, that's a mess right now. But yeah, no, congrats to him. I think that's pretty cool. And, you know, hopefully the team does well, except for when they're playing the Stingrays. But yeah, that's the news from the past week in the NHL.
We should buy an ECHL team.
I mean, a minority ownership probably doesn't cost that much.
Can't be that much.
But yeah, that's the news in the past week in the NHL.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTB Coach Dan, talking about Capitals hockey, the top of the league Arsenal Football Club, Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen's done it again, leaping over somebody. And the Washington Commanders and how they are a dumpster fire of an organization. I feel bad. Anytime a player gets drafted by that team, I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, give it a few years, then you'll maybe be able to go somewhere else and do something well. But, like, God, they're a mess. And it's so interesting. This team cannot get out of its own way. Did you see the story today about so a fan won, like, a 50-50 raffle, and it was, like, I don't know, 14,000 or one, or, you know, 1,400. He won some amount of money. And so the team gave him a check. The check bounced. This is a professional football team. Like, if you're looking at what teams are worth, the Commanders, even though they're a dumpster fire, are probably in the top 10 of, I think I have this right, they're definitely in the top few in terms of, like, value in the NFL, probably in the world top 10 or so, 15, a check bounced. That is so embarrassing and pathetic. And they were like, oh no, it was clearly an issue. There was a banking issue. We already wired the person the money. We apologize for the error. This is a team that another owner came out, Jim Irsay of the Colts came out and said, yeah, I think we're going to need to get rid of this guy. As you know, it's not verbatim what he said, but oh, it's so embarrassing. But yeah, you can find me on there occasionally making fun of them, even though I am a supporter of the team, even though they chose the wrong name and botched the naming thing when they were announcing it, unsurprisingly, because, yeah, it's Dan Snyder, and he owns the team.
Dan Snyder also, there was they were talking about building a new stadium, and they were asking Governor Hogan, governor of Maryland, what are the chances of them getting a new stadium or whatever? And he's like, well, I haven't seen any plans of this, that, whatever. And a reporter for ESPN said, is that a team you want to be associated with? And Governor Hogan goes, I'm actually just a Ravens fan. So,
I mean, he's tweeted stuff out before in support of the Commanders, you know, and back when they were the formerly known as team, but, or what they were formerly known as is how I should have phrased that sentence. as, you know, he should do as the governor of a team that plays, and he's got, you know, people who support him, their fans, blah, 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 blah. No, they're a joke. And if they can get a new owner that is not a joke and will actually be respectful to women and human beings and do the right things, you know, the DC area is so hungry for a good football team. They had one of the most storied franchises in the NFL, and then Snyder bought it and turned it into the biggest joke of a franchise in North American sports. Like, there is not a team that I can think of that is more of a joke right now. Everybody jokes about the Bengals and the Jets, but they at least try to not get in their own way.
The Browns keep getting in their own way as well.
Well, no, yeah, the Browns are definitely up there. You know, when you go and trade a lot and give a lot of money for a guy who's, you know, has something like 22 or 23 women have come forward saying that he's, they've been assaulted by him. You have a problem, but they just need a new owner and a new team name again. And just, you know, a do over on that one. But they need a new owner and someone that will genuinely care and try. And yeah, I mean, things are starting to look like they might be going in that direction. So we'll see what happens. But it seems like every day something new is coming out about that organization that is just embarrassing for everyone involved. But yeah, that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed this show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com/WhatThePuckPod is where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of information related to the Capitals, the Bears, the Stingrays, the National Hockey League, and other things that Brandon finds related to the wide world of sports and hockey. That's Facebook.com/WhatThePuckPod. But Brandon, I was talking a little bit about the Bills and the Commanders, but if someone happens to be a fan of your Baltimore Ravens, is there a podcast they should listen to?
So you can check out my Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. We cover all things Baltimore Ravens. And we're over on Discord, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. You can join our server there. If you are a Caps fan and you are also on Discord, would you like to talk about the Caps on Discord with us? We could start a What the Puck Discord server if you like. Let us know if there's any interest in that, and we can get that thing going as well. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord, anywhere you are social with your phone or with other fans. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. On Thursday, October 20th, the Capitals are in Ottawa, up in Canada. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. Then on Saturday, the Caps travel back home to D.C. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that one locally on NBC Sports Washington. And then on Monday, October 24th, the Caps are up against the Devils in New Jersey. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that one locally on NBC Sports Washington. Look at that, 1 week away. We could have been up against the Devils on Halloween, but instead we're up against the Hurricanes. So,
well, that's just not a fun story.
That's not fun at all. Anyway, that is it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman, voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.